finish up what I was speaking about in the end of the last session, which was the design of the open source sample implementation of EDXL resource messaging. The intention behind that was, and I think I mentioned it, to provide the means for vendors to implement the specification in a conformant way that would satisfy the requirements of conformance, given that that's in the specification that can be measured. And at the same time, take some of the cost and the intensive work that goes into the initial development out of their way, so that they could build more user-friendly implementations on top of it. And if there's going to be competition, let it be in the ability for people to create an interface that more users like. So let the market decide that, rather than having the proprietary interest of someone having a piece of technology that nobody else has. And so the final part of that was that was the reason why I was doing what, you know, amounts to an exercise, almost an academic exercise, in terms of developing a specification that I don't actually intend to go out and market or use, but that I really want to see used as the basis for widespread adoption of EDXL resource messaging. Also, I'd like to say that both Danny Thornton from Scalable Architectures and other people that I've worked with are actually building applications that use the entire EDXL family, and that family consists of the distribution element, the resource messaging element, the hospital availability exchange. On all of these fit into the national information exchange model. And if we're on 129, I'll just go ahead and finish up. And this was intended to wrap up our set of presentations on current, wrap it up with a review of current standards in the emergency management community and in the domains related to the national response framework that Dr. Kniva laid out for us here previously. And on slide 130, we just go through the standard acronyms list again, so you don't have to go out and try and find out what they mean, and you can Google on them to get details. Slide 131 asks, what are emerging standards? And the title of this segment was chosen to remind us all that there is a specific role that emerging standards play in the emergency response management community, and that role is to stimulate and provide important tools for improvement. As noted, emerging means becoming manifest or becoming known. The word emerging itself often sounds somewhat challenging in the sense of creating a need for sudden change. Often it is the perception of suddenness rather than the need for change that causes undue concern, as we'll show momentarily. The process involved in the kind of change we represent is anything but sudden. In fact, we've been criticized for being slower than desired by many in the recent past. However, we're pleased to say that after a lot of work, OASIS will be conducting a final approval ballot for both EDXL HAV, Hospital Availability Exchange, and EDXL Resource Messaging during the second half of this month, October 2008. Considering that these specifications were first submitted to OASIS Emergency Management Technical Committee, the EMTC, in August 2005, there should be little concern that we rushed this work through our processes. So as we practice the development of standards, emerging should not be thought of as disruptive, but rather as well-timed and with sufficient advance notice for the vendors who implement these standards and the agencies who will ultimately use these standards to prepare for them. If we go then to slide 132, as you've seen, excuse me?
We're talking with you now. Thanks.
Okay. As we've seen thus far, we use standards that cover the geographical area of incidents and terminologies we have developed for alerting. And we now offer better standards to help provide interoperabilities across political boundaries and between suppliers and consumers, responders, and hopefully the public being served. Now, one of the areas for which we have not had sufficient standards applies to the interiors of buildings, so the next step for which standard terminologies are being developed and for which we need to establish these standards will be in the Building Information Modeling and the National Building Information Modeling System, BIM and NBIMS. As with many other areas, this one is not centered in the given major standards development organizations, so we'll see a process in which either a collection of standards from a variety of SDOs, standards development organizations, will need to be coordinated through an ontology of sorts or a taxonomy, or the community will settle on a given SDO and charter an effort to unify the standards needed from whatever sources have been developing that documentation. As noted, OBIX and OASIS is representing the owners group that has not yet been very well represented in the professional associations that generally focus on engineering-oriented technical specifications. Also, the emergence of new sensor technology and green scoring standards will need to be accommodated. If we move on to slide 133, please. This previous slide noted some concerns with gaps in the collection of standards which currently serve the emergency response management community. This slide takes the role of emerging standards and the gaps that emerging standards need to fill and sets them against the background of experience in one of the major specifications we are focusing on, EDXL resource messaging. While this experience is not completely representative of the field, and we have learned important lessons in the course of the timeline shown here, we think this is fairly typical. The timeline for the subject matter experts group is only 5 months for the development of the candidate specification that was initially handed off to the EMTC. This timeline does not reflect the time spent gathering input and writing the first version of the standard, so I don't know whether it was 5 months or a year that the practitioner subject matter expert group worked on it before it got to the EMTC. Likewise, the timeline for the EMTC's work does not reflect the time spent by both groups translating the candidate specification into a formal requirements document from which the EMTC's work began. However, given those caveats, these timelines are still fairly typical since these group processes almost always encounter interruptions of one sort or another. So we can safely say that if the industry and government agencies monitor these processes, emerging standards need not be disruptive, but well-timed, and allow vendors who engage in the standards process a distinct advantage. If we move on to slide 134, this slide notes there are other considerations which need to be included in this kind of work. Using other standards is very helpful for increasing the overall level of interoperability of standards and the applications which adhere to them. In this case, we used customer information quality specifications, even though they have not yet been advanced for an OASIS-wide approval vote. It is also important to note that the uptake of specifications and standards is a mutual reinforcement and that we would like to encourage that as much as we can. This particular set of individual organizational and legal specifications is very important for eliminating any possible confusion over the identities and provenance of authority for jurisdictions in any given emergency incident. In the case of EDXLRM, which deals with resource logistics, it is also important for establishing accountability and providing an audit trail, both for equipment, supplies, and staff, but also for documenting the communications about the information. In other words, this addresses some of the things that Jameson spoke about. If we move on to 135, we also want to note that we need to gather our good ideas from wherever they happen to develop, and this includes places like the keyhole markup language, which was an XML-based language schema for expressing geographic annotation and visualization for existing or future web-based two-dimensional maps and three-dimensional Earth browsers. And it was actually created by a company that was called Keyhole and was bought by Google, and that's how Google ended up with it. So this is just sort of anecdotal, and you can think about that as we consider the standards come from many different places, not just from standards organizations. If we go on to slide 136, I wanted to say a little bit about the OGC, the Open Geospatial Consortium, because their standards are fundamental to emergency management. You can read this on your own later. There are a bunch of things in here that I didn't have time for, and I don't think it's, particularly germane, but it's important to be aware of these standards as well. And if we move on to 137, I'm just mentioning the Web3D Consortium because all of the standards that we've spoken about in one way or another can be represented in 3D, and I think that because 3D is more natural seeming to our senses, that as it develops, it'll be the more natural way for things like the Common Operating Picture to be presented to us, but that's probably in the future. And if we go to 138, I wanted to just, briefly mention that the EDXL family is outlined here, and you can look at that for a little more information. I wanted to, but I don't have the time for it. I don't really want to go into the valueless URN more than I have already. So we go to 139, next to last slide. This gives you an idea of the next steps in standards. Profiles and extensions are almost guaranteed to be important. In fact, we're working on an emergency alert system, EAS CAP profile now. And the EDXL situation reporting is in the practitioner steering group, so the process that you saw the timeline for in a previous slide is actually going on now for the what we call SITREPs for situation report. And EDXL asset tracking is also under consideration. We don't know whether that's actually going to be taken up or not. And in the Open Geospatial Consortium, they're going to be doing a profile of the geography